All right, here we are. It's Sunday morning, Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. We're going to go through Numbers, continuing on through the book of Numbers, starting with Numbers chapter 23. We're going to talk about the story of Balaam and Balak. Balak was a king. The king saw the sons of Israel coming in, a race, an ethnicity, a group of people with a common ancestor that spoke a common language, had a common culture, a common religion, and he was terrified of them. And he said, I don't know how I can fight these people. There are too many. There's a lot of these dudes out there. So he went and he found Balaam. Balaam was a known entity. He was a known man. He was a soothsayer and a prophet, a diviner. He was somebody you went to if you wanted a blessing or a curse, if you wanted to know what happened in the future. He spoke with God. He very clearly spoke with God, and God spoke with him. But Balaam had an issue. Balaam loved money. He loved the money. He was a prophet of God. He heard from God. He met with God. He said God's words, but he liked the money. He had a reputation for liking the money. Numbers chapter 22. Then the sons of Israel journeyed, and they camped in the plains of Moab, beyond the Jordan, opposite of Jericho. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. So Moab was in great fear because of the people. Okay, what did they do to the Amorites? They slaughtered them. So Moab was in great fear because of the people, for they were numerous, and Moab was in dread of the sons of Israel, as it ought to be. So they said, hey, we got to go find Balaam. So take him a bunch of money, give him a bunch of money, and cause him to come out and curse these people for us. He's a prophet of God. He likes money. That's fine. We get all the money in the world for him. Give them a bunch of money, have them come out of here and curse these people. So they go and they travel to the east to Balaam. And then all of a sudden the Lord shows up and he says to Balaam, the prophet, the diviner, he says, who are these men? Who are these men with you? Balaam said, well, they're these people. Behold, there's a people who came out of Egypt, and they cover the surface of the land. Now come, curse them for me. Perhaps I be able to fight against them and drive them out. So this is what Moab wanted them to do. But God says to Balaam, do not go out with them. Do not go out with them, for you shall curse the people, for you shall not curse the people whom I have blessed. So Balaam goes to him. He says, look, the Lord has refused to let me go with you. He blames God. Well, I would, but, God told me not to. He blames God. Well, the Lord said, hey, guys, I'd really love to do this for you, but the Lord said, don't go. So the leaders of Moab rose. They went back to Balak, and they said, Balaam has refused to come with us. So round two, he said, oh, this is a negotiating tactic. Not a problem. This is existential for us. He wants more money. It's a negotiating tactic. Yeah, I'd go with you, but, God told me not to. Oh, okay. No problem. Second try. So he sends back another group of people, more distinguished than the first, leaders, rich men. He says, I will indeed honor you richly, and I will do whatever you say to me. Please come and curse this people for me. And Balaam's going, So God says, okay, Balaam, I've told you not to go. Clearly, you want to go. I've told you not to go. You didn't give him a definitive answer. You just sort of strung him out there. They come back offering him even more money. God says, okay, go, but you shall speak only as I tell you. Careful what you want. God might give it to you. Be careful what you want. So he had a reputation for prophesying for money. That's why they went with fees for divination. The Bible says they went with fees for divination. Now, Balaam is not a good guy. He's a bad guy. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. Forsaking the right way, they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. He's a prophet for hire. Oh yeah, he heard from God. He heard from God. He talked to God. God talked to him. But at the end of the day, he was about that. He's all about the money. It's all about the money. He figured out he could stay on the right side of God by only saying what God said, only doing what God said. God said, don't go. But Balaam wanted to go. He wanted that money. So God said, okay, fine, go. But don't you say a word that I haven't told you to do. So he's all excited and he goes. Jude chapter 1. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the errors of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah. For pay, for the money. Even for people of God, even for the prophet of God. Revelation 2, verse 14. He's speaking to the church at Pergamum. Remember the letters to the churches, the notes to the churches? I have a few things against you, because some of you hold to the teaching of Balaam, who kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat the things sacrificed to idols and to commit acts of adultery. And so what is going to happen? We'll see this. So Balaam stayed on the right side of God, he thought. Said, okay, I won't go. But then God said, okay, you can go. But don't speak a word other than what I tell you. And so he didn't say anything except what God told him to say. Then he leaves. But then he cuts a deal. He says, okay, look, I've stayed on the right side of what God has said. And now these men are asking me, they still want to pay me money. So I'll just tell them, look, this is what's going to trip up Israel. He gave him advice. He was a counselor to them. He says, you want to have destruction with Israel? I know how it works. I know how you trip up Israel. And we'll see in the story the advice he gives. But he's basically saying, listen, you're going to go have some parties, bring your women out, cause them to sin, and God will curse them. God will do it for you. And I'm sure he's paid handsomely for that. And he probably justified it to himself. He just said, look, I'm just saying the truth. I'm just telling them what will trip up Israel. And I'm sure he had it justified six ways to Sunday. Well, I'm just telling them the truth. This is what will trip up Israel. Oh, it was nice that they gave me, a couple million bucks or whatever it was. It's an evil man. Called by God, prophet of God. Sold out for money. You cannot serve God and mammon. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. You cannot. Cannot, cannot, cannot. He's tried to do both. Balaam tried to do both. Tried to serve God and mammon. Tried to serve God and get the wealth. Jesus Christ said he can't. He cannot do that. Well, I'm staying on the right side of God. I'm just, but I got a good little business going on here. He had a reputation for that. That's why they went. They showed up with money. This guy would just pay him off. So Balaam saddles his donkey, and off he goes. Well, God said I could go. So off he goes. But God was angry. Boy, I don't ever want to be in this position. Well, God said I could go. But God was angry with him because he was going on. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. Now he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Okay, prosperous guy. He had his own donkey. He had a couple servants. All right, this guy was not lowbrow. He had his own private jet. Uh-oh. Had his retainers. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with the sword drawn in his hand, donkey turned off the way and went into the field. But Balaam struck the donkey and turned her back into the way. The Almighty's trying to have mercy on him. He's like, look, I told you not to go. You went anyway, and now your donkey's trying to tell you something. You wouldn't listen to me. Listen to your donkey. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path of the vineyards with a wall on each side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pressed herself into the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against the well. So he struck her again. So on they go. They keep continuing on. So the angel of the Lord went further on and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn to the right or the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam was angry and struck the donkey with a stick. And the Lord opened the donkey's mouth. And she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" Now, here, there's some good news in the story. You're going down the wrong path. You know, God is well able to warn you. He's well able to warn you. And he probably has. He probably has done that. Probably do it again. Me too. Fritz Berger too. I ain't any better than Balaam. Not any better than Balaam. Taking a few wrong paths in my life. That's for darn sure. God has mercy. He's warning him. He's warning him. Could have killed him. He's warning him. Finally, he makes the donkey speak. So this is good news for those of us, maybe not you, but me. God says, look, you're going the wrong way. Yeah, I know I let you go that way, but you know what? That's not what I wanted for you. Now I'm warning you, don't go that way. Are we listening? Do we have ears to hear? Do we have eyes to see? We got donkeys talking to us? So God says, okay, keep going, but you're going to only speak the words that I've told you to speak. So even if we go down that wrong path, God's still able to use us by his mercy and by his grace. We'll find out later that, again, Balaam was trying to serve God and mammon. He finds his way to get his fees from Balak. So he gave him words to speak, and this is what Balaam says. From Aram, Balak has brought me. Moab's king from the mountains of the east. Come curse Jacob for me, and come denounce Israel. How shall I curse who God has not cursed? How shall I denounce who God has not denounced? As I see from the top of the rocks, and as I look at him from the hills, behold, a people who dwells apart. It will not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, or number the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the upright, and let my end be like his. Balak's wrath, he's upset. He says, I brought you here, and I'm paying you money to curse them, and you're blessing them. Balak says, hey, I can only say what God told me to say. Well, they tried again. I said, well, you know what? This is what he did before. He said he wouldn't come, and then he come. So he came out here, and he came out here, and he blessed him. Maybe he needs more money. Let's try this again. So they set up more altars, more sacrifices. Balaam goes out and meets God. I'm going to read you what the word that God gave him to say over his people Israel, which is the church, by the way, those faithful to Jesus Christ. It's not people that reject Jesus Christ. Numbers chapter 23. Arise, O Balak, and hear. Give ear to me, O son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and he will not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. When he has blessed, then I cannot revoke it. He has not observed misfortune in Jacob, nor has he seen trouble in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brings them out of Egypt, for he is for them like the horns of a wild ox. For there is no omen against Jacob, nor is there any divination against Israel. At the proper time it shall be said of Jacob and to Israel, what God has done. Behold, a people rises like a lioness, and as a lion it lifts itself. It will not lie down until it devours the prey and drinks the blood of the slain. Balak's upset. He says, stop saying that stuff. Do not curse him at all, nor bless him at all. But Balaam replied, did I not tell you whatever the Lord speaks, I must do? So he tries a third time. Balak said to him, please come. I'll take you to another place. Perhaps it will be agreeable with God that you would curse him for me. And Balak goes. He's trying to find a way to make this work. Trying to find a way to stay on both sides of the tracks. Trying to serve God and mammon. called of God. God spoke to him, trying to split the baby. So Balaam took him up to the top of Peor, which overlooks the wasteland. Balaam said to Balak, build 7 altars for me here and prepare 7 bulls and 7 rams for me here. Balak did just as Balaam had said and offered up a bull and a ram on each altar. When Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not go as other times to seek omens. But he set his face toward the wilderness, and Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel camped tribe by tribe, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Balaam. And he took up this discourse, and he says, the oracle of Balaam, the son of Beor, the oracle of the man whose eye is opened, the oracle of him who hears the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, falling down, yet having his eye uncovered. How fair are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel, like valleys that stretched out, like gardens beside the rivers, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. Water will flow from his buckets, and his seed will be by many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brings him out of Egypt, for he is for him like the horns of a wild ox. He will devour the nations who are his adversaries. He will crush their bones in pieces and shatter them with his arrows. He crouches, he lies as a lion who dares rouse him. Blessed is everyone who blesses you, and cursed is everyone who curses you. Then Balak's anger burned against Balaam, and he struck his hands together. And Balak said to Balaam, I called you to curse my enemies, but behold, you have persisted in blessing them these 3 times. Therefore, flee to your place now. I would have honored you greatly, but behold, the Lord has held you back from honor. Balaam says, didn't I tell you that I can only say what God said to me? Though Balak were to give me a house of silver and gold, I couldn't do anything contrary to the command of the Lord, either good or bad, of my own accord. What the Lord speaks, that will I do. And so Balaam goes on, and he keeps talking. He says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob, which is Jesus Christ. A scepter shall rise from Israel, which is Jesus Christ, and shall crush through the forehead of Moab and tear down the sons of Sheth. Edom shall be a possession, Seir too, its enemies will be a possession, while Israel performs valiantly. From one, Jacob shall have dominion and will destroy the remnant from the city. And then he curses Amalek. Amalek was first among the nations, but he shall be for destruction. And he looked at the Kenite, and he says, your dwelling place is enduring, and your nest is in a cliff. Nevertheless, Cain will be consumed. How long will Asher keep you captive? Then they took up this course. Alas, who can live except as God has ordained it? But ships shall come from the coast of Kittim. They shall afflict Asher and will afflict Eber. So they also will come to destruction. Then Balaam arose and departed and returned to his place. And Balak also went on his way. So Balaam goes back. He goes back to wherever he came from, back to the mountains of the east. And Israel's there, and the Moabites are there. Now, somewhere, somehow, somebody gave the little tip to Balak and the Moabites on how to trap the sons of Israel. Let's read on. So the people began to play the harlot. There's that word again, harlot. It's all throughout the scriptures, all throughout the history of ancient Israel, the harlot. People began to play the harlot with the daughters of Moab, for they invited the people to sacrifices of their gods. The people ate and bowed down to their gods. They had a big party, eating, drinking, fornicating. Nice big party. A lot of fun. The Lord was wroth. The Lord says to Moses, take all the leaders of the people and execute them in broad daylight before the Lord. I love this scripture. The Lord said to Moses, who's the Lord? It's Jesus Christ, pre-incarnation. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the creator, according to John chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 1. He was there in the garden with Adam and Eve, pre-incarnation. He is the Lord. Take the leaders of the people and execute them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel. You know why this is so important? We live in a Christian culture, in an evangelical Christian culture, where we don't understand the anger and the wrath of God towards disobedience and towards sin. I mean, I don't. I'll just tell you, I don't. I have to go back and read it in Numbers. I have to go read it in Leviticus and read about all the blood that must be shed as an atonement. And you see right here, take the leaders and slay them in broad daylight, but in front of everybody. And like, dang, that's harsh. This is the nature and character of Jesus Christ. And we'll get into that eventually, and I've talked about that before, but people are offended by Jesus Christ. He's the stone of stumbling, is the rock of offense, not just to the Pharisees of 2,000 years ago, but to the church of today. He turned, and when John the Baptist was watching what Jesus was doing, he didn't know if he was the Messiah or not. I mean, he baptized him. He saw the Spirit of God coming down. He heard what the Holy Spirit said. This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. And yet he's in prison, and he sends his disciples. Jesus says, are you the one? Are you really the one? And Jesus sent him back to me. He says, listen, blessed is he who is not offended by me. Blessed is he who is not offended by me. God goes out of his way to make himself offensive because he doesn't serve you. He doesn't serve me. We got it all backwards. We try to paint Jesus Christ as inoffensive. And Jesus Christ comes along, he says, eat my flesh and drink my blood. He drives people away by the hundreds. And he tells John the Baptist, blessed is him who's not offended by me. And so this scripture offends people. Well, how can God do that? Why would he just take 200, all these men out and just kill them in broad light? Well, this is what the Word says. This is what the Word says. The Lord said to Moses, take the leaders of the people and execute them in broad daylight before the Lord so that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. So Moses said to the judges of Israel, each of you slay his men who have joined themselves to Baal at Peor. Each of you go and slay your men. Slay your men. Kill them that have gone down to that big party for Baal of Peor. Kill them. So one of the sons of Israel, he brings back a certain woman. They go in a tent and they start fornicating. Phinehas sees it. He sees what's going on. He grabs a spear. He goes into the tent and he skewers them both at once. Apparently, they're in a position where they could be skewered together. So they got skewered. Got a spear right through both of them at once. And guess what? Guess who's the big hero here? It's Phinehas. In fact, that act of Phinehas, God had already sent the plague on. 24,000 died. Okay, that act alone said, okay, my wrath is satisfied. Phinehas, you done good. You done good. You skewered him through. Well, you shouldn't just skewer somebody because they were just doing what comes natural. Listen, I didn't write this book. I didn't write this book. I didn't inspire this book to be written. It's the Spirit of Jesus Christ that caused this book to be written. If you turn aside from it, you turn aside at your own peril. Just like Balaam. Well, you know what God says, but you know, let's try to make this work. So Balaam went and he told them all about it. She said, look, this is what you do, man. Have a big party. Fight them down. They like their parties. And they you know, it was an act of worship, the immorality to Baal, to Satan. And then God himself becomes wrathful at Israel. And he sends the plague after him. And the Moabites are going, oh, that worked. That worked out pretty good. We're going to try that again. So the Lord tells the sons of Israel, tells Moses, he says, be hostile to the Midianites and strike them, for they have been hostile to you with their tricks with which they have deceived you in an affair with Cosby, the daughter of the leader of Midian, their sister who was slain on the day of the plague of Peor. So it was the leader's own daughter that went in there. So we got you guys now. You're going to be one with us, one flesh with us. sends his daughter down there. And Phinehas stood up and skewered them both with the spear, killed them on the spot. And Phinehas is honored in the sight of God. All right, we're going to wrap up here. There's a census. They number the men 20 years old and upward. Biological reproduction is God's command. A patriarchal lineage is God's command. Tying the generations together is God's command. So-and-so, son of. So-and-so, son of. So-and-so, son of. The son of the tribe of Levi. There's a unity, there's a social unity across the generations via the bloodlines. Cannot forget this. This is God's plan. Satan's plan is to blend the generations, destroy the families, not just your mom and dad and the kids, although that's certainly foundational, but to deny that there is such a thing as a bloodline. Deny all bloodlines. Oh, it doesn't matter. In fact, there's a certain people that follow the Talmud, they deny a patrilineal descent. They say, the descent isn't of the father, it's of the mother. So the Talmud people say, oh, you're a Talmud person if your mother was a Talmud person. An inversion of the Holy Scriptures, which is what the Talmud does. All down the line, the Talmud and the people of the Talmud invert the Word of God. And we're going to get to that in the after show today. Which actually the after show was going to show before this shows up. And then God says, among these, after he does the census, among these shall be divided for an inheritance according to the number of the names. That's where numbers comes in. The number of the names. To the larger group you shall increase their inheritance, and to the smaller group you shall diminish their inheritance. Okay, this is when they go into the land of Canaan. He said, okay, you got these 12 tribes. You're going to divide it up amongst the 12. It's not just one land for everybody just to go and do their own thing. No, we're going to divide up the land tribe by tribe. Bigger tribe's going to get more. Smaller tribe's going to get less. You want more? Have more kids. Their inheritance shall be divided between the larger and the smaller group. And that's it for today. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. It's Sunday morning. And I've got, if you haven't listened to it, go listen to what I've got to say about the precepts of the elders and the traditions of men, and the subversion of the New Testament, subversion of the Greek scriptures by the Talmud people and those who would follow the Talmud people. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com, out.